All right, so get this. Today we're diving deep into information systems.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
But not the boring kind.
No.
No, we're talking power struggles, hidden agendas.
Like a thriller.
Exactly, but with databases and algorithms, who knew, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we tend to think of tech as, you know, just tools, right?
Yeah.
Neutral.
Right.
But those systems, they actually reflect us, like our priorities and who's really in control.
And that's what's so cool about this deep dive.
What is?
We're going through this academic thesis.
Oh, okay.
And it uses a real-world case study. It's a central business register over in Denmark called the CVR.
The CVR?
Yeah, and it shows how messy, how power-driven these systems can get.
So, like, picture trying to build this huge database with info from, like, every government agency.
Oh, man.
Sounds simple? Not so much.
Right. This deep dive really gets into the conflicts, like beneath the surface of it all.
Exactly.
And the thesis actually gives us like three different ways to think about this.
Three different ways.
They call them paradigms. Sounds fancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it just means different lenses for understanding this whole thing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So first one's all about efficiency.
Okay. So streamlining things, saving money, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. The second one looks at information as like a tool for political decision making. But the third one, the one we're really getting into today, is called the reinforcement thesis.
Reinforcement thesis. Okay, I like it already.
So break it down for us. What's the core idea here?
Basically, tech doesn't just exist on its own.
Right.
It amplifies those existing power dynamics.
Oh, I see. So whoever's already got the most influence when you're creating a system.
Right.
They probably end up with even more power once that system's running.
You got it.
So it's not just about like building a better database. It's about who gets to decide what even goes in it.
Yes.
Who can see it and who ultimately wins from all that info.
It's like controlling the flow of knowledge.
Exactly.
And the Danish CVR, it's a perfect example.
All right. So set the scene for us. Denmark in the 1990s.
Okay. So it's the 90s. The Danish government decides, hey, let's streamline things.
Right.
Let's have one central register for all our business info.
Sounds ambitious.
They wanted to take data from different ministries, economic affairs, labor, business, you name it.
All in one place.
Yep. Easily accessible.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
What could go wrong, right?
Well, on the surface, it seems simple enough.
Right.
But as you dig in,
yeah,
the thesis shows this whole process becoming a battleground.
Oh, wow.
We see conflicts pop up over control, access, even the tech design itself.
Wait, they fought over the tech design for a database?
It got intense.
That's why.
Because the argument is that technology, it's not just this neutral tool.
Right, right.
It's a negotiated artifact, meaning it's shaped by those social and political forces.
So you're saying like the very structure of the database, how it connects to other systems, all of that. It's a reflection of power dynamics, not just some like ideal objective tech solution.
Exactly. And the thesis really highlights this with a great quote. It says, information in these systems isn't just data, it's knowledge someone is responsible for.
Hmm. That's a good one.
Right.
It's not just ones and zeros. It's about the meaning we give to that data and who gets to decide what that meaning is.
And that's a lot of power.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Okay, so think about this, listeners.
Okay.
Knowledge is like a currency.
Yeah.
So controlling info is like controlling that currency, and whoever has the most influence.
Makes sense.
And that's huge in today's world, right?
Oh, absolutely.
To really get this, we got to consider two big ideas.
I am on me.
All right. So we've got Daniel Bell's concept of the post-industrial society.
Okay.
And then this theory of socially constructed reality.
Two big ones. How do they fit in with our CVR case?
Okay. So Bell argued that in a post-industrial society, knowledge, that's the most valuable resource. It drives innovation, economic growth, social progress, everything.
Mm.
Think about how important business info is to a country's economy.
Okay, yeah.
That's the kind of power we're talking about here.
So the fight for the CVR, it gets even bigger.
Right, it's not just data. It's about shaping Denmark's whole economic landscape.
And then you add in the idea of socially constructed reality.
Okay.
Which basically says our understanding of the world isn't objective. It's shaped by social interactions, the information we're exposed to.
So whoever controls the info in the CVR, they could actually influence how people see Danish businesses,
yeah,
even the whole economy.
They're shaping the narrative, influencing perceptions.
It's not just databases. It's power in the information age.
Exactly.
Wow. This is getting really interesting. But We got to pause for a second.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going deeper into those power plays within the CVR project and see how they shape the final outcome. Stick with us.
Can't wait.
Welcome back. We're still digging into this Danish CVR project and how it became this battleground for information control.
Right. We were talking about how different ministries were all vying for power and influence, even over this, like, seemingly simple database.
And you mentioned even the technical design got pretty contentious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Can you give us a concrete example of how that actually played out?
Sure. So one of the biggest decisions was how they'd even structure the database itself.
Okay.
Think about things like what info should even be included? How do you categorize all the data, even the software used to manage everything?
I can see how those choices would have major consequences down the line. But how can something as technical as database structure be used as a tool of power?
Well, those technical choices actually determine who can access what info, how easy it is to get to it, and even how the data can be analyzed and used.
Okay.
Like, imagine one ministry wants certain data points to be super accessible, well, another wants to bury those same points deep within the system.
So, like, building walls and gates within the database itself to control the flow of information.
I got it.
And they were doing all this under the guise of, like, technical necessity.
That's what the thesis argues, that many of these decisions that seemed purely technical were actually driven by political motives.
Mm.
Ministries could use these technical design arguments to protect their own turf, limit access by their rivals, or even give themselves an advantage in how the data was interpreted.
It makes you wonder if those in charge of designing these systems really have everyone's best interests in mind.
Right. That's why it's so important to have open conversations about these systems and involve a diverse group of people when you're building them.
Yeah, you can't just take technical decisions at face value.
Nope.
We need to ask, like, who actually benefits from this design? Whose interests are being served here?
Right. It's not enough to have just brilliant engineers.
You need to understand the human element, too.
The values, the goals, the power dynamics.
All baked into every line of code.
Exactly. And the thesis really gets into those human elements, showing how personalities, departmental politics, even broader societal trends all shaped the development of the CVR.
So we've got technical design as a tool for power. What other tactics were used in the CVR project?
Well, another big one was budget battles.
Yes, the classic, we need more money to do this right.
But it wasn't just about getting more funding.
No.
It was also about how those resources were allocated and how that allocation shifted the balance of power.
Right, so whoever controls the purse strings, they control the project.
Exactly. For example, some ministries argued that they needed more staff or better equipment to handle the increased workload from the CVR.
Sure.
So not only did this get them more resources, but it also solidified their position within the project.
Makes sense. Did any ministries try to, like, use their existing resources as leverage?
Absolutely. Some ministries would agree to share data, but only if they were compensated for the cost.
Oh.
It became a bargaining chip, like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
And all these negotiations, the backroom deals,
yeah,
they all played a part in shaping the final system.
Definitely.
It's amazing how even something like a budget discussion can become a power play.
Oh, for sure.
What other tactics did they use?
The thesis also points out another interesting one, appealing to this idea of information responsibility.
Information responsibility. Okay, what's that?
So it's this idea that certain people or organizations, they have a duty to protect and manage certain types of information.
Okay.
They're seen as stewards of that data, responsible for its accuracy, security, and ethical use.
So it's like a moral argument.
Yeah, like, we are the rightful guardians of this info, and we get to say how it's used.
Hmm. And how did that play out with the CVR?
Well, the Ministry of Taxation, for example, argued that they were uniquely responsible for protecting taxpayer data.
Yeah, I can see that.
And this allowed them to keep a lot of control over the CVR, even though it was supposed to be shared.
That's a persuasive argument, but it raises the question, like, who decides what's ethical and responsible when it comes to data?
Right. Whose values are we prioritizing here?
Exactly.
We need to make sure that information responsibility isn't just a way for powerful people to maintain control, but a real commitment to ethical data management that benefits everyone.
Okay, so we've got technical design, budget battles, and information responsibility all being used in these power plays.
Yeah.
How did it all affect the final outcome of the CVR?
Well, that's where the thesis gets really interesting.
How so?
It shows that the final CVR system wasn't a clear victory for any one side.
Right.
It was a product of compromise, negotiation, and blending everyone's interests together.
So like a messy negotiated settlement.
Exactly. That's often how it works with complex systems.
Yeah.
They're rarely designed in a vacuum. They're shaped by the push and pull of all these different people, each with their own agendas.
Like a giant puzzle where all the pieces have to fit, but they're constantly changing shape.
That's a great way to put it. And the thesis helps us see those pieces, understand how they fit together, and recognize the forces that are shaping the puzzle.
And this isn't just about one database in Denmark, right?
No, not at all.
The thesis connects this to bigger trends across society.
Remember that post-industrial society idea?
Yeah.
Bell argued that knowledge and information become the most valuable resources in that kind of society.
Right.
So the struggles we see in the CVR case, they're just a reflection of bigger struggles for control and influence.
So we're not just talking about databases anymore.
Yep.
We're talking about how information shapes our whole society.
Exactly. And remember, socially constructed reality, how information is framed, the stories we tell, the data that gets emphasized or ignored, all of it shapes how we see the world.
So whoever controls the information, they control the narrative.
And that influences how we understand reality itself.
That's a lot of power.
It is, and that's why we need to be critical about the information we consume. Question where it's coming from, consider different perspectives, and be aware of our own biases.
We can't just passively accept the stories we're told.
We need to actively engage and think critically.
This has been really insightful, but we got to take a quick break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the CVR and what it all means for you, the listener.
Sounds good.
Stay with us.
And we're back. Wrapping up our deep dive into the world of information systems and all the power dynamics that shape them.
Yeah.
We've been going through this thesis on the Danish CVR. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. The Central Business Register.
Right. And how it shows just how much is going on behind the scenes of these systems.
It's not just about the tech, is it? Not even close. From technical design to those budget battles, we've seen how creating this database turned into a power struggle.
Definitely.
And how all of that connects to bigger ideas about knowledge and society, right?
Like how our understanding of the world is shaped by the information we come across.
Exactly. And for our listeners out there, the big takeaway is this.
Yeah.
Don't just passively consume information. Be active. Question the systems you use, the assumptions they're built on.
Because if we're not careful, those systems end up shaping us, not the other way around.
Right. So you got to be mindful of the agendas at play, the power dynamics.
And the consequences of those seemingly neutral tools.
Like the CVR, it was supposed to streamline things, but it became this battleground for control.
Exactly.
So, listeners, what does this all mean for you? Why should you even care about this stuff?
Well, for one, it helps you see the world more clearly.
Right.
Understanding that the information you're getting, the systems you're using, they're not objective. They're shaped by human decisions, by values, by power structures.
That's pretty empowering, actually.
It is.
It's like realizing the news you read, the social media posts you share, even government websites, it's all a product of these complex systems.
And when you understand those systems, you become a more informed citizen.
You start asking critical questions, you challenge the status quo, you demand transparency and accountability.
Because these systems should serve us, not the other way around.
Exactly. They should be tools for connection, empowerment, progress.
But that doesn't just happen magically. We have to be informed, engaged, and hold those in power accountable.
So as you go about your day, scrolling on your phone, interacting with all these digital things, remember what we've talked about. Think about the power dynamics at play, the assumptions built into these systems.
Who benefits from the way things are designed? Who might be disadvantaged?
Don't be afraid to dig a little deeper. Ask questions. Challenge the narratives you're given.
Be curious. Be skeptical. Be informed.
Knowledge is power. And the more you understand how these systems work, the more power you have to shape your own reality, to create a more equitable world.
Think about the apps you use every day. Who controls that data you're sharing? How might they use it to influence your choices?
These systems are everywhere, shaping our lives in ways we might not even realize.
It's true. And this world of information systems, it's always changing. So keep learning, keep asking questions, keep exploring.
That's great advice. And on that note, we'll wrap things up. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Catch you next time.